What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey, guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It's Wednesday, and every Wednesday, our job is to bring you practical solutions, things you can use right away to improve your practice and your life. And do you ever feel like you're not communicating really well with the people around you? Well, there's a better way. There's a better way to talk like a leader. Today, I have Miranda Beeson, our director of education, on the podcast today. And she points out potential pitfalls you have as a leader when you don't know everyone else's communication style. I'm here to tell you that if you figure this stuff out, you learn about this journey for yourself and your team, it changes everyone's lives. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. I want to start by just saying thank you for tuning in and sharing this with your friends. Currently today in the podcast, I don't know how this works. I don't even know why it works. There's over 99,000 unique listeners. That means you guys are sharing, and we're going to keep bringing it. With over 900 episodes, we love this industry so much, we're just going to keep bringing it. So thank you for showing up and thank you for sharing. And some of you own and lead a dental practice. And you might be thinking, well, how do I talk to people? Have you ever thought about this? Like, running a business is not easy. It's actually really hard. And what gets harder is you're like, wow, these people that I care about, my team members, I try to communicate with them, but I don't feel like I'm communicating with them. Have you ever felt that? I have too. So today, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bring on the amazing Miranda Beeson, and we're going to learn and share some thoughts on how to talk like a leader. Miranda, thanks for being back. I always appreciate you.
Hi, Kirk. Thanks for having me back. I'm really excited for this podcast today. This is my favorite stuff to talk about. Communication is my most favorite. So yeah, let's do it.
Now, I know it's your favorite. And so just to bring you in as the listener, this is why we do this. We coach great dental practices all over the country. That's all we do. And they're not broken. They're actually really good practices, and they're struggling with how do they grow? How do they do better without working any harder? And we experience these challenges that they have firsthand with their team members. And they call us during these calls and go, what do I do? And our job is to help them think better and talk better and communicate better. So this is a really important podcast. And I'm going to say this up front. If you get this right, what Miranda is going to share with you, it is life changing. So Miranda, take us on this journey. What are we going to be learning today about how to talk like a leader?
Well, I'm really excited that you just mentioned that piece about we hear this all the time in coaching. And like, this is where this idea for this podcast even came from, is being on a call with a coaching client of mine who was struggling to understand some team members and the way that team members communicate so differently from how they communicate. And we said, hey, let's go back to DISC. And so we're going to talk about DISC today. We mention it a lot. I do anyway, on our podcast. And I thought, I don't know that we've ever taken the time on a podcast to really break down what DISC is and how the communication styles, these four primary behavioral observational communication styles, exist within our practice and how that impacts how we as leaders engage with our team. And so, you know, on that coaching call, that's what we did. We dug into, hey, let's look at what your communication style is. Let's look at what your team members' communication style is. And usually if there's a breakdown in communication, it's really just a matter of we naturally behave and communicate a little bit differently. And if we can understand ourselves and understand each other, we can bridge that gap and meet each other at a place of understanding. And so when we do that in the dental practice, it helps us to improve patient experience. It helps us to improve the team dynamics, the framework of DISC, and being able to almost compartmentalize the different ways in which your team members communicate. It's really powerful for you to be able to understand where they're coming from and then try to meet them where they are, and vice versa. This can also work the other way, where your team can learn more about you as a leader and how you prefer to be communicated with, or what your communication style is, so that they don't misinterpret and misunderstand things that you say also. So I don't know. I think it's really important that when you recognize that there's different styles, that you can reduce conflict, you can improve communication channels. And you brought up the word trust right before we got started. We were talking about in our pre-show, just trusting each other in this process. We've gotten to do so many podcasts together. We know we can hop on and we're going to trust each other to take it down the path it needs to go down. And I think that's what ends up happening with your team too. Yeah. Better you understand each other, that trust grows.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you've been involved with this work, you already know what it is. But if you're a dental student, because we have a lot of young listeners, let me just bring you on this journey and simplify it, because it's going to be important. It's DISC. And basically what we're going to share with you in this podcast is there's four different main communication styles and DISC. Now, I will say this before we get into them. I have one major regret, and I've shared it on the podcast. Like, if I could go back and do one thing over again, it would have been to embrace the journey of self-awareness earlier in my career, because I spent a lot of thousands and thousands of hours, if not thousands of days, trying to fix my weaknesses, not understanding who I was. And so I think the journey of self-awareness, and then also, like you mentioned, Miranda, learning who other people are would have saved me a lot of conflict. And so please, if you know, DISC is our favorite, it's also Miranda's favorite. You're going to see it's very easy, and it actually can be a lot of fun if you do this with your team. So Miranda, where do we start? Like, take us down this journey.
Yeah. So you got us started there in terms of DISC is a communication platform, or, you know, people talk about Myers-Briggs, or there's an anagram. I can't even say that one correctly, but there's a lot of different personality style assessments, right? And so the thing to remember when we talk about DISC, it's based on way back before Hippocrates' time, there was an assumption that there were four distinct types of people, and it was just purely based on the way in which they engaged with one another. Now, back then, they thought it was based on their environment and if they were hunters and gatherers versus, you know, whatever. But we've learned over time, and I think the first book scientifically kind of around this concept was in like 1928. So it's been going on for a while. But everyone fits primarily into one of four categories in terms of their observational behavioral communication style. So how we can see and perceive the way someone else communicates. And the important thing to remember about DISC, just as an overview, is it's not a label. It's not an end-all be-all. Like, we are deep, complex, emotional human beings. And so I use that word observable because we can't see those deeper emotional intelligence pieces or what motivates us. This is purely what we can kind of see and perceive from the outside. So you can't put a label and say someone's a this or a that, and that's just what it is. But it is a really great key and tool to be able to understand the basics of this person's decision-making and the way in which they're going to engage and communicate with other people. And when we communicate properly, it's going to, like I said, build trust. But if we don't, we can erode trust really quickly, faster actually than we can build it on the other side. So it's really important to connect so that you can lead confidently with no matter the style of team member that you have. So what I think we'll do is just kind of break down each of the styles. I'll share with you approximately how many people in our general population kind of sit within each style, so that everyone who's listening can learn a little bit about each style. And then we'll talk just slightly about how this might show up in your practice and how you as a leader might need to kind of shift gears with how you deliver information or provide feedback based on the person's style. So you want to jump in?
Yeah, no, you go ahead. And I think the statistics are really fascinating, like overwhelmingly fascinating for me, because you're going to see there's trends in dentistry. But then also realizing, I'll add as we get going, I'm a minority in this journey. And I was trying so hard to get people to do what I wanted them to do or be like me in some respects. And now I realize that was terrible. Like people, there are some people that have certain tendencies and it allows them to more naturally experience themselves. And so let's go into the data. I love the data.
Yeah, it's great. Well, and to piggyback on what you said, everybody has their own tendencies, which if it's not like you, you might perceive as a less than ideal trait, but those are their superpowers and their strengths. And so there is, that's another key point to point out, is that there is no style that's better than another. And there is no style that like should primarily build your team. Like you need a little bit of everything. So let's just jump in. So D for DISC, D is, stands for dominance, or what I like to say is direct, because I am a D primarily in my personality style, and dominant feels a little bit harsh for me. I believe that you can be direct and polite. So I like using the word direct for D instead. But interestingly enough, for the more direct or dominant style communicators, it's only 3% of the population. So for those of us that sit in that D realm, we have a really high sense of urgency. We tend to be pretty fast paced, a little more bold, a little more confident. I always say you always know where you stand with a D. They're not playing games. Everything is just very clear, right to the point. And so only 3% of the population, which interestingly enough, makes sense if you start thinking about like, who are Ds? They're generally people in leadership positions. They're generally executives, people in a place of authority. And so if you look at an organization, you know, there's usually one or two people that sit in that place of authority, and then a whole slew of people within the organization that fill the other pieces. So if we think statistically of that person kind of at the top of the org chart, that person who likes to be challenged and likes to drive challenge, that's going to be your D. When we lean into the I, which is you, Kirk, you mentioned you're a minority as well. It's my secondary style, which is why we love to chit chat on podcasts and run long on webinars. The I is an influencer. So this is a people person. And I is someone who is very charismatic, social. They gain energy from being a part of groups and connecting with others. They want to feel like they're part of something. They bring energy. They tend to be pretty enthusiastic. And so they're going to also be fast-paced, have a bit of a sense of urgency. But while the D tends to be a bit more logical and direct, an I is more emotional. So Ds tend to be more topic-driven or logic-driven, and I's tend to be more people-driven or emotionally driven. So another way to think about that is a D, you might say, like, what do you think about this? And with an I, you might say, how do you feel about this?
Right.
Because the way in which they're going to make that decision differs. And that's only 11% of the population, right? Our I's are 11%. So D's 3%, I's 11%. We're only at 14% of the population in these two styles, which I think is really fascinating to think about. And knowing these stats helps so much when you start to look at your team. And you can even layer this into patient communication. And if you start thinking about the people in your chair, and how many are probably a D versus an I, and some of the things we'll talk about later might start to go, oh, I have a patient that I'm pretty sure is a D because, you know, whatever that is that you learn in a little bit. So yeah, starting with D and I, we're at the minorities in the group, which is our 3% Ds and 11% Is. Do you want to speak to the I side of things? And once you learned about what that was, like what it meant to you in recognizing who you were?
Not really, because I'll monopolize the podcast and turn this into a party. But like I could throw if there's one thing I could do in college, I could throw the ultimate rager. Like I wasn't good at school, but like if there was a party, oh man, I think about it every waking hour and how we would craft it. And I love the emotional part of it. And if Sarah was on the podcast, Sarah is an IS, which she is social, but she also likes to be like, she loves her downtime. And so she wouldn't mind me saying this, but like a lot of times we would go to basketball games and she's like, tonight, you don't have to be the mayor of the town tonight. So like we would get our seats and I would literally go and greet every single human being I've ever known. Hey, what's up? I mean, I'd get to the seat that we were going by the end of like the first quarter or whatever type of a thing. So like, and I would feel bad if I didn't see everybody. So there's, and then I want to also speak about like, how people express, it's very emotional. So those are the good things that I often see as an I, but oftentimes, even in our meetings, Miranda and Barrett can say something that's potentially, you know, conflict. And it sounds very calm, straight to the point. When I say something I don't like, it sounds almost like I'm angry because it's emotional. I'm like, Miranda can go, well, I think the colors are off and the data doesn't show that. But if I say it, it's like the colors are off and the data doesn't show it. And people are like, you sound so angry when you talk.
You're watching
like,
it.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm just emotional about it. So being aware of how you express yourself and communicate, it's a never ending journey. I have not figured it out, but at least this framework helps me. From a contextual standpoint, one more thing I'll add about the eyes, because again, I could talk forever. I'm the messiest human being ever. Like I have papers everywhere. There's a trail of dust that follows me. And that's what I found is that's just who I am. So keep going with the stats because they're even more fascinating as we keep down this train.
Yeah. And I'll say this really quick too, because you just mentioned that the other side of this to say what they are, but also what can be is with a D, under a lot of stress, under a lot of pressure or misperceived can be impatient or short or sometimes even like aggressive. A D can be perceived as not caring or cold. And with an I, if under a lot of stress, under a lot of pressure, you just mentioned your papers everywhere and everything else, eyes will get pretty disorganized. People might use the word flaky sometimes to describe an eye when they're under a lot of stress. Sometimes they even do get a little selfish because they start to look inward a little bit more than outward, which is the exact opposite of what might happen with an S.
Right.
So we'll share that next. So an S means steady. And these are 69% of the population. So most people in the entire world, much less your practice or your team, are going to be an S style communicator, a steady communicator. And what that means is they like harmony. They like consistency. Change is their greatest fear, especially spontaneous change. A lot of change over a short period of time. They tend to bring a lot of reliability. They are very trusting and they need trust in order to feel safe. But these are your very reserved, stable, calm individuals. They're going to sacrifice their own selves first in order for the sake of other people. So when I just mentioned an I under stress might get a little selfish, an S under stress is going to go the other way. An S can often give too much of themselves, be too generous, too accommodating, at their own expense. The other thing around an S is they can shut down because they get overwhelmed by too much, too fast. Again, when we talked about pace, an S is going to be a lot slower paced and not have that same sense of urgency that a D or an I might have. Did you just notice I slowed my voice down? So I just like emulated an S, like they might have a slower pace. You might need to talk quieter. Present your ideas in a slower, more moderate fashion than you do with a D or an I who can take it. And then the other is our C's. So C's are conscientious, and that's what the C stands for. 17% of the population are C's. C styles are very detail-oriented, also thinking from that logical side of the brain. They're more of the task-oriented. What do you think about that style of people? Those S's lean more into the how do you feel about that? People, emotional thinkers, I mean, emotional decision makers. So our C's tend to be very analytical. Precision is very important. They do not like sloppy. They do not like when you're not prepared. I often say if you have a C-style patient, don't say, I don't know. Tell them that you will find out tell them I don't know and I will find out. Don't wing it.
Right.
That's where I was meant to go with that. If you just make an answer up with a C and they find out later it wasn't the truth, you've lost trust with them. So if we recap the stats, most people sit in that S realm of steady, harmonious, a little more reserved, a little slower paced, resistance to change. The next highest population is 17%, which is our Cs. Those are our analytical thinkers, our detail-oriented precision team members. They also don't love change, but they're fine with it if it makes sense, right? If there's a good, valid reason. Their greatest fear is more criticism, especially criticism of their work. The next in population size would be the I, the influencer, that people person, that really charismatic team member who's bubbly and positive and everyone loves them and they love everyone and they want to be a part of something. Their greatest fear, by the way, is social rejection or feeling kind of shunned by the group. That's their greatest fear. And then lastly is our Ds, our direct dominant communication styles at 3%. Greatest fear, by the way, being taken advantage of. Also vulnerability. So it's hard. They like control more so than being vulnerable. So that's where we are statistically. And so when we think about that, the majority of your team members, just by way of stats in our overall population, are going to be S's. And if you stop and think about what we do, healthcare, right? We're taking care of other people. It's even more likely that our team members are going to be primarily S's because those are the nurturing, caring, calm, helpful people naturally. And so they gravitate towards healthcare. So most practices end up with predominantly S's sprinkled in with some I's. Clinicians lean into the C, especially doctors and specialty doctors, because of the amount of perfectionism that has to take place. And a lot of practices have no one with a D style or maybe one outlier. Very occasionally do you have multiple unless your team is quite large. When we work with coaching clients, we actually map out the whole team. We do a DISC assessment for literally everyone, and we map it out so that everybody can see where everybody lands. And quite often, there's nobody up in that D realm. And statistically, it makes sense. However, occasionally, there's just one or maybe one or two that sit up there in that D space, which can be great because you do have to have somebody who's kind of, pushing things along from time to time.
Yeah. And when you talk about 69% of the population being S's, this is what, we often take an entire room of dentists and team members, just like Miranda said, and Miranda will lead an exercise and get them into one of four corners. I'm always blown away by how many S's there are. It's overwhelming that corner. And it often becomes a fun exercise that people are like, oh, I totally get it, type of a thing. So just
And the
starting.
corner with the eyes is always gets really loud because
Yes.
they're all immediately talking to each other and laughing and having the best time. So we're like, oh, we know who you are already because you're making all the ruckus over here.
Yeah, so I think, doing the exercise, and we've done it many times where you can see everyone's dot, you can start with the whole understanding of who you are and who they are as you communicate. So you don't create these narratives in your brain like, oh, this person's just a jerk. They don't really, that's just, you become more understanding, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I think that's the main point of all of this. And when we say talk like a leader, it's not the words that you say that we're really referring to. It's more the context of understanding how those words might land for the person that you're speaking to. And so delivering in a way, not changing who you are, but when you know who you are and you know who you're speaking to and what those communication preferences are or what those communication gaps might be, you're able to adapt and modify your delivery in a way so that it lands better. So, personal experience, I was a practice administrator, as you know, for a long time, and I led a group of dental professionals, and there's a whole lot of different personalities in a team of 30 people. And so I had a really just fantastic patient care coordinator. Patients loved her. She was, at check-in, she managed greeting new patients, making sure everyone knew where everything was in the office, making sure everyone's forms were filled out, helping them if they couldn't read them. Just She was the concierge that greeted everyone when they walked through the door and made them feel welcome. And she was perfect for it. She was a really high-eye style personality. So she was at times a little disorganized. However, she wasn't managing those processes in the front office that really required a lot of precision, like insurance follow-up, where the details are critical. It was more about connecting with people. So it was perfect. She got gifts from patients all the time. They'd bring her sweets or treats, or, she would send cards. The moment she heard someone was having a birthday or their cat passed away, she had a little assortment of cards up front that she would pop in the mail with stickers all over it. It was fantastic. Now, as a D, and working with her, having to provide feedback and/or her having to come to me with challenges or questions, we were both in that place of urgency, kind of fast-paced. We were good in that realm, but I just needed the bullet points. I'm busy. I have a lot going on today, and the way that I communicate is straight to the point, avoiding small talk. Let's focus on the outcome. What's your question? Let's get to an answer. But what I knew about her was that for her to be able to feel comfortable communicating with me, she had to have a connection with me. We had to have some type of connection on a personal or softer level for her to even feel safe and comfortable coming to me. And when she came to me, I had to give her the space to tell a little bit of the whole story, because she had to tell a little bit of the whole story to even be able to get to the point. Like, it's just how she communicated. And so for me as the leader, it's my responsibility to know that about her, know that about myself, take the time when I'm going to her to make that moment of, how's your day going? Hey, I brought you these, hot Cheetos. I know they're your favorite. How is Miss So-and-so today? Oh, by the way, do you have a few minutes for us to talk about, this thing I need to talk about, right? The thing on my agenda. If I just jumped in with, like, I have this agenda that I need to tackle, it might rub her the wrong way. It feels too forced or too intense or too direct. And in the same breath, I'd have to sit back and smile and absorb all of the fluff around the question that she ultimately needed to ask me. And then when we got to that question, we could jump in and solve the problem. But it's important to know these things, because if I didn't know that about myself, and if she hadn't been versed in DISC, because we all were in that practice, there could have been a big conflict or divide. She could have felt like I didn't like her. She's always so short with me when she comes up here. I could have felt like, good Lord, does this one ever like focus on any one thing at a time? But you start to understand one another. And that's the biggest bridge towards trust, is just understanding and being able to give the grace and the understanding or that perception of, like, they're not ill-intended. This is just the way in which they communicate. And we just need to look at this on paper, honestly, and say, like, oh, that makes sense. If I give a little here and she gives a little there, like, we're going to meet right in the middle and we'll be able to get along just fine.
Yeah. And I'll be the I in this story and take on this persona. On the flip side of things, I work with Miranda. She's a D. I also work with Barrett. He's a D. I know that I can't do what I used to do, which is like, hey, what's going on? Totally hijack a meeting and tell a story about a bird and what happened this morning and what I heard another person is doing in the industry and blah, blah, blah. And now we're a half hour into the meeting, and I'm just trying to get everybody to laugh around some stories. I also know I can't run the meeting because I'll drive them crazy. I won't be able to stick to the agenda. We might get to the agenda. So again, the first step is just learning about yourself and the other styles to make things better.
Well, and realizing that it's not always natural and that's okay. Like, if you feel like you're having to stretch a lot to really connect with a particular person or a few people on your team, that's okay. Like, that's probably relative to your natural communication styles. So a lot of times we will, again, map out where everyone sits on a DISC wheel, and we'll say, imagine there's this little, push pin down here by the C style, and you're the doctor and you're the C style, and you like everything to be in its place. Everything has its place. Everything should be there, right? Everything's orderly. There's rules. We follow them. There's systems, buoys, and boundaries. Everyone stays within them. That's how a C communicates and functions. And there's not a lot of irrational emotion going on. Actually, you don't even understand people when they get irrationally emotional. It's like that doesn't make sense.
Right.
So if your push pin is way down there as an outlier, as a C style, say leader, and you have a I style, you know, team member, you're going to have to stretch. We always say, imagine a rubber band wrapped around that push pin, and then you have to stretch it all the way over to the other side of this wheel where the I lives. There's a lot of tension on that rubber band, but it doesn't mean that we can't bridge that gap. So again, while a C style might be all about order and attention to detail, and it can feel kind of just chaos and crazy the way that an I style lives and communicates and functions, you can find that sense of understanding and meet each other in the middle. What a C style really needs is, again, the details and to know that there's a plan and a process and that that plan and process is being executed. So in that same example of having this I style patient coordinator, if you're a C style doctor and you think you said something earlier, Kirk, that was like, you know, if someone's not like me, you can't expect yourself out of other people. I heard that quote one time and I just loved it. Like, you can't expect yourself out of others. So if you're that C style leader and you have this I style patient care coordinator, again, awesome for the role that she's in, but you can't seem to connect and you're looking at her thinking like, oh my gosh, like she's so disorganized. Like all she cares about is having fun and chit-chatting with everyone. Is she even getting anything done that's part of her like job description? Because right, we're a C style and we're working from a process. So it's really simple to just have a checklist.
Right.
And at the end of the day, that I style patient care coordinator has checked the 6 boxes. Yes, I called all of the hygiene recare patients today. Yes, I made sure that everyone's health histories were updated into the practice management software. Yes, I followed up with so-and-so that you asked me to call about the referral. And now you can, as the C style leader, feel confident that their personality is shining. The way in which they communicate is a strength, and they are still following through with the task systems and processes that are important for you to feel really confident are happening.
Yeah.
You don't have to be discouraged by or feel conflict about the way in which that person engages, even if it's not like how you engage.
Right, right. And, you know,
and sometimes it's a really good balance. I'm sorry, I just cut you off. But like, I work with Ange on a regular basis, and she's like my counterpart within the Best Practices Association. And I love her because she thinks differently than I think. She does take her time and she slowly processes and asks questions and looks at the details that I will overlook very easily because I'm just ready to move on to the next thing. So these balances can feel like a negative, but they actually can be a really strong positive because you can lean into the strengths of the person who isn't just like you.
Yeah, it's so good. I often think of Ange a lot because she's so opposite of me. She can figure out anything. Like, she can figure out the data. And I say this to her all the time. Like, I never think about it when I say, Ange, can you figure this out? She always does. She loves the details. She loves finding the details.
She figures it out. And then she thinks of 4 other things that we should have asked her to figure out that we never even thought should have been figured out. It's pretty amazing.
And once you do the disc style, you start to learn more about them. And we found out that one of her childhood dreams was to be the Nancy Drew, you know, of all of this. She just loves figuring all this out. So we actually presented her a 10-year award and called her the Nancy Drew of ACT Dental. So you can celebrate these things. My point is like, you know, what Miranda's point is like, you celebrate them and really enjoy them later on. And she wouldn't mind me telling this story. I was lecturing in Iowa one time and she was there. There was like 400 people there. I ate breakfast and then the server never came back. And I came to her and I go, Ange, can you help me? And I knew she was going to pay. I go, can you go find my server and pay for my breakfast? And I gave her my debit card. You should have seen the panic on her face. She's like, you did what? No, she went, found the server, found my exact, she calculated exactly a 20% tip. Made it to, brought it back. Like, it was amazing. But as you can imagine, me being an I totally freaked her out in that moment. I didn't think anything of it. And so
she's like, wait, there's rules here.
You don't just get up and leave and tell somebody else to pay your bill. And so, but give us some considerations Like if I'm listening to this for my team.
So let's just go through kind of each one. And if you have this style of person on your team, things to consider about how to engage or communicate with that particular style. So again, if you have a D style team member or team members, remember they're fast paced. Remember they're results focused. They tend to be pretty confident. You know, here's the result we need. Here's how you can take the lead. They really like the sense of control and authority of being able to take charge of a project. So when you're talking to a D style, you want to get to the point as much as possible, avoid small talk. Same thing with emails, like a nice bulleted, clean email is great. We don't need all of the fluff at the front and back end of it. Focus on goals and outcomes and solutions and let them have some autonomy in those decisions. When you micromanage a D, you're going to run them off really fast. So they want control and they want to feel like they're in a position of authority. And so work with them to say, I know this is important to you. I want to be able to provide this for you. Here's the expectation, and let them run. And then you will have to audit and make sure you hold them accountable and that they are doing the right thing. But being direct in that feedback is really important. They appreciate directness. I've actually shared with you in the years that I've been working with you now, like I would much rather you give me really direct, constructive feedback than any type of fluffy, I think you're amazing.
Right.
Because to me as a D, like I'm growth oriented, I'm goal oriented, and I can't get better if you're not telling me where I'm missing the mark. And most Ds appreciate that. And I say that because if you're a leader and you're not someone who gives direct feedback well, because maybe you sit in that S realm or the I realm where you just want everyone to like you, and you have a really strong team member who's a D, if you're not challenging them or providing feedback, they may say, I'm going to go find somewhere that challenges me and provides me feedback because they crave it.
Yeah. And on that note, I don't mind sharing our secrets. So Miranda and I, in this dance of working together, I used to, because I hate conflict, I go, oh, it's great. And then she'd find out later that I didn't think it was all that great. And you do that when you get to know each other and work together. And then we instituted a point system. She just sent me something like a couple days ago and said, scale from 1 to 10. I need to, you know, a grade. And I gave her the honest, like it was an 8.5. And so it's good enough to get going. But I think it distills some of the fuzziness or the cloudiness and goes right to it. Another secret I don't mind sharing, because you used goals, outcome, solutions. That is so spot on. One thing I've learned working with Barrett, who's a strong D, is I will specifically say this, and he may or may not know, what's the outcome you want? And like his whole body posture will change from like stoic to like, whoa, outcome. All right, cool. He loves talking about outcomes. Like if there's one thing you could do, it would be A, B, C, and it gets to the point. Communicating and using this, what Miranda's laid out, it works. It really works.
Yeah. I can't agree more. I also often say those exact same words of like, what is the outcome we're trying to get here?
Right.
Where are we trying to go with this?
Yeah.
But with an I, so we mentioned they're, if you have your I team members, they're enthusiastic, social, idea driven. A lot of times they tend to be a bit more creative. They bring great energy. Acknowledging that, praising them for that is really awesome. When you're talking to an I team member, start with positive energy and recognition. They definitely like to be acknowledged and recognized. A lot of them don't mind that publicly either. You know, if you call them out or celebrate something they've done well in front of the whole team, they feel really good about it. Keeping conversations upbeat and engaging, be clear with what the next steps are, because we mentioned disorganization, eyes can get a little off track with managing details. So having things in writing can be great, and making sure there's very clear next steps so that like at the very end, here's what I need from you, so that it doesn't get lost in the mix of the grander conversation. Using stories or analogies is great to connect. Same with patients, using testimonials or other people's experiences, other patients' experiences is great to connect with an I style patient, and allow time for them to also be heard. Remember me mentioning my patient care coordinator, she needed that space to be heard and connect and feel like we had a connection. So you got to give them that space.
Yeah. Cause if you cut them off, they feel violated and not heard or seen, or they don't feel good about you. And so While some eyes can ramble on forever, like myself, it's always good to say, "Hey, great!" You know, let them do their pleasantries, and add the
energy. Well, and you can always frame it as right. Well. Same thing. I would often say, "Hey, I want to connect with you." Like we talk about one-on-ones. We guide leaders to have check-ins and one-on-ones, and a one-on-one with an I can go really long, especially if you're also an I. So you can frame it around, "Hey, we're going to take about 5-6 minutes to touch on personal. And then we're going to lean into the last like 10-15 minutes. I really want us to lean into what's going on in your role and in the practice so that you're leaving the space for it, but you're also making it really kind of clear, you know, where we're going with this and what we need to do from a time perspective. And we're leaning a lot into the eyes today, but I think it's just probably the most contrast to a lot of the others because it's so high energy. And energy is what this is all about. You know, that energy, you know, can drain someone who doesn't have that high level of energy. So that kind of feeds us right into the S. The S doesn't have a really high boisterous level of energy. They tend to be more reserved. Remember, they tend to be a little slower to process, stable, reliable. They prefer stability. They prefer harmony. They really appreciate being recognized for their contributions, for their loyalty. You know, I actually just went and had lunch with a former administrative team member from one of the practices I worked in as a hygienist. She was celebrating her 40th year in the front office at that practice, which is exceptional. She's an S, but the most loyal, steady person you will ever meet. And so many patients came to that party to say, like, thank you for being there all these years. So with an S, you want to speak calmly. You want to provide reassurance. Avoid putting them on the spot, especially in front of others. You and I talked about speaking. If I'm doing a like call on the tables, maybe we did a workshop and I want to hear what happened. I can usually gauge by body language who an S or a C style is versus a D or an I. And I'm going to go find a D or an I to call on first, because that's going to give the S's and the C's time to think and come around to their response. If you start with an S, they're going to be stunted almost because they don't like that kind of like surprise factor. You always want to make sure that you emphasize teamwork, emphasize support, collaboration. It's a very collaborative communication style, and giving them time to process change or new things or new decisions. And appreciating them and their loyalty and consistency. And I think that the time to process new things and changes is important because a lot of dental providers do introduce innovative technologies or processes into the practice. And if you do that too quickly, too often, and you have a large population of S or even C style team members, it's going to be a lot harder to integrate those changes because they feel very overwhelmed. They want to make sure that they get it fully integrated before the next thing. We had a conversation about that in the BPA not too long ago. One of our doctors said, you know, my team's feeling a little overwhelmed. And it's like, well, what have you introduced this year? And it was like, I think like, you know, three new things, which to her felt, she's a D. To her, it was like, that's not that many. And to the team, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, this is a lot of new things in 1 year. Like, let's take our time to make sure we really get it right.
Yeah. And S's, I have a special place in my heart for all the styles. I mean, S's are really amazing people. They create so much harmony. They're really a joy to work with. They're some of your favorite people. And again, they don't like conflict. The downside of being an S is they can take on other people's drama and challenges. So I remember in the early days of ACT, we had some incredible S's, but they would harbor and take on these private conversations, and they would harbor the stress that came with them. So as a leader, I think one of the things you have to do is be protective of them. They will take on extra work. They won't say anything. And so a good check-in will let you know where they're at. And
They're really agreeable, really accommodating. Yeah. They don't want to rock the boat or disappoint you. So they're not always going to be as honest and forthright about how they actually feel about something or what's going on, simply to keep the peace. Right. And so creating a healthy, trusting space where you can open the door for them to be really honest, and they can start to trust that when I'm open and honest about how I feel, it lands well. And it doesn't create a gap in our friendship, our relationship, because that's what they really want to avoid, is any follow-up discomfort to maybe saying this thing to you that they think might be of conflict, if it creates a crevice in our relationship, they're not going to go there. So over time, you can really start to build trust, especially with those one-on-one opportunities, to show that you can be honest with me, you can share what you're thinking and what you're feeling with me, and I'm going to take care of that, and we're going to still be okay.
Yeah.
So the last one is a C style, our conscientious team members. And, you know, they can get stuck in a little bit of analysis paralysis if we don't keep them moving along. So remember, your C styles are detail oriented, logical, systems focused. Here's the data. Here's why. giving them a little ownership over making change to systems or processes, because they're going to think about them in a very detailed and particular, and poke holes. Actually, we were talking about Angie. Angie just sent me an email just yesterday saying, question about, you know, this thing we were talking about, is this like a final done deal, or am I good to ask some questions and provide feedback? And I'm like, nope, this is actually happening like right now. So no more questions. And she's like, okay. But I love that. Again, poke holes. They're going to think about a process or a system, and they're going to be able to give you a different perspective if you're not of that realm of communication style. So when you're talking to them, remember to be clear and be prepared. Facts are really important. Facts over feelings. Avoiding emotional or vague language. Give them time to analyze or ask questions. If you're introducing something new, it might be, hey, go think on this for 24 hours. I want you to come back with a list of questions. Giving them the space to really process. They're processors and they need that time. Respect their need for accuracy and structure, and don't surprise them. Be very open and honest. If there is change, again, why are we doing it? And making a plan for how we're going to do it versus just shooting from the hip, it's going to land a lot better for a C-style team member.
Yeah, it's so good. We often talk about the new landscape of hiring, you know, and developing and growing great people. Think about this as an entrepreneur. When you're a dentist, and one of the foundational things you do isn't just talking about how do we collect more money, how do we produce more, but like, let's spend some time learning about who each other is. And so I can speak to this, like, it's fun to watch team members come into the pro coaching program and they've never done this before. And they're like, I didn't even know I was this. And you can see them light up. And we've had some teams that have had incredible results. Like their production and collections have skyrocketed beyond anything they're dreaming. Their favorite thing was DISC, learning about each other. And I'm like, that's a win for everybody. So I'm here to tell you that this is a truly amazing opportunity for you as a leader to bless your team and yourself and everyone collectively, that we know each one and who they are. And here at Act Dental, we do something called the User's Manual. And what we do is we actually write it out and have the team member write it out. And we did it. And when you read them out loud, you laugh out loud because you see the user manual itself come alive. So I can't say enough about this work. And the more you lean into it, the more you learn and the more perspective you have. So it's awesome. Give us some final thoughts on this, Miranda.
So I love that you mentioned the user manual. Those are one of, you know, my favorite things. And every team I work with in coaching, we develop a user manual. And basically it's just like, what's the instruction manual for communicating like with me, right? What's Miranda's user manual, and how might I be misunderstood, and how, you know, what types of things are my pet peeves when I see or feel them in other people? And if you do end up in conflict, it's so easy to open that up and say like, oh, I don't think that they meant anything by that. This is just how they communicate and it's different than me. So with that being said, I guess the takeaway would just be that understanding people, understanding your team, it's not optional. Like, right. If you're leading a team, you are exactly right that you're not going to ever hit your goals. Like all of those financial things, like I want to hit this in production and I want to do this production per day. And it's not going to work if you don't have a healthy culture and you don't have strong trust amongst your team and you don't have solid communication. So to me, understanding the people that serve you and that you serve, it's not an option. It's a foundation of building trust in your practice. And your leadership is going to elevate when you start to understand your team. And ultimately, probably most importantly, first, understanding your own self, so that you can manage and regulate your own communication style and adapt it to where everybody else is. Then you're able to connect and make those small shifts that really make big change in the practice over time and prevent turnover, which everybody wants to try to do.
Totally. I was going to piggyback on that too. Like, part of it is, if you're an entrepreneur for four decades, you're starting to create this narrative or this story about people. And the more you learn about people, the more you start to appreciate who they are. There are people that don't do this work and they're just salty. There's nobody good out there. You know, team members are just all the same and they all. And so I'm like, well, that's pretty salty. I hope if you're listening to this, you've got a better perspective around people, because your people are what makes it work. And the deeper understanding that you can take, not only for yourself, your team, you'll tell yourself a better story over 3 to 4 decades of leading a business, and it'll be a good one. It won't be a bad one, you know? So this is such good stuff. All right, anything else before we wrap up here?
Well, I was going to share that we always mention the Best Practice Association when we're here. If you're not there, I hope you'll come and join us in the BPA. You can do it on an app or you can do it on your desktop. If you join us in the Best Practices Association at a premium level, or even bring your team, even better if your whole team gets to be a part of the experience, we have resources there. And one of the resources that we've created that's newer to our library of resources is a guide to helping your team engage with data. And we actually look at how each of these communication styles thinks about and cares about data. So if you're someone who says, my team just doesn't care about the numbers, you know, they disengage as soon as we start talking about KPIs, if you can pull that resource and really look at how, based on their DISC, they communicate and they are motivated by, or they connect to the KPIs and the numbers, you're going to get more engagement and buy-in from your team around the data conversations that you have in your practice.
Yeah, I love it. Miranda, this is awesome. So, and just like she mentioned, if you haven't started the journey yet, start it today. Go back to the Apple store, the Google Play store, and search Best Practices Association. You can join the journey for free. We're adding so many incredible resources back there. And the community is strong of people that are just like you, trying to figure out, how do I lead a dental practice? How do I better communicate with people? And you'll see an amazing group of people that are just there committed to your success. And we're going to keep bringing it. And if you've tried everything and you're just struggling, you can reach out to Courtney on our team. She's our lead therapist, and she can just listen to you and give you some advice. You know, whether it be coaching, whether it be Best Practice Association, we're here to support you every step of the way. So Miranda, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. We love this. I hope you enjoyed that. And if you did, do us a favor, hit the share button, share it with your friends. Keep showing up. We're going to keep bringing it. Dentistry is an amazing profession. The people around you are amazing. And you as a leader, when you learn how to communicate with those great people around you, it makes everybody's life better. DISC is an awesome way to start. So please get started on the journey. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it, so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.